There is power in prayer. Prayer is our primary weapon for our victories. Jesus spoke about prayer and the importance of our ability to communicate with God. God wants us to communicate with him. Turn to Matthew 6:6, talks about prayer. Jesus spoke these words. God wants to communicate with you. It's not only us speaking to him, he's speaking to us. Amen? So in Matthew 6:6, it says, but you, when you pray, Jesus is speaking these words, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Praise the Lord. Do we actually have a quiet place? Do we have a place that we're spending time with the Lord? You know, is our life so busy that we'll just catch him as we're driving to work? Will we catch him as we're brushing our teeth? Will we catch him just before we go to sleep? God is wanting us to get to the place to where we're spending a time with him in the secret place with Almighty God. Because when we don't give him the attention, something else will be giving the attention. There's voices in this world. But I want us to understand, I'm going to share an object lesson. This is called a cake. It's a white cake with chocolate frosting on it. Let's look at the finished answered part of prayer being this cake. What does it take to make this cake? Well, it takes flour. It takes flour to make this cake. It takes eggs to make this cake. It takes oil to make this cake. It takes sugar to make this cake. To make this cake, we need to have some baking powder. We need to have salt to make this cake. We need to have milk to make this cake. We also need to have vanilla. We need to have chocolate to make the frosting. We also have to have the powdered sugar that goes with this. When you think of prayer and you think of that we're just going to say something and then want God to bring the answer based on our thinking rather than God's thinking. We want the answer to our prayer immediately. That we put four quarters in, we push the button, and we want the immediate response from God. When you're making a cake that takes these ingredients to actually make this cake. And you might say, well, what does that have to do with prayer? What does a cake or these ingredients have to do with prayer? Well, when we look at prayer, the same is true with prayer. What ingredients does it take to have an effective prayer life? Because many times people will just say, I'm going to throw quarters at God, push the button, and I want him to respond immediately to my need. And so when you think, when God was saying in Matthew 6:6, when you go to pray, go to your room, shut the door. So the first thing to make prayer work, it takes number one, faith. It takes faith for prayer to work. To get answered prayer, it takes faith. Number two, your prayer needs to line up with the Word of God. You know, I've had people say to me about certain prayers that don't even line up with the Word of God, and they want me to agree with them. Why would I want to agree with you when it doesn't even line up with the Word of God? Amen. And they wonder why God is not hearing their prayers, because it doesn't line up with the Word of God. Number three, authority. You need to know your authority in Christ Jesus. many times you can pray to God with your head and not your heart or your spirit. Amen. Again, we want to know why God isn't answering prayer, because we're doing prayer with our intellect rather than with our heart and our spirit. Number four is this: surrender. Get yourself out of the way. Many times man will say, "I got this." But really it comes back to surrendering, that we need to get out of the way and that we have faith and that we have trust in God. Amen. How many times do we get to the place of we give a prayer, but yet we tend to want to deal with it on our own, when we're not even letting God have the ability to even work through the thing that we're going through? Praise God. Number five, obedience. We need to listen to God's voice, not man's voice or Satan's voice. Amen. Obedience unto God and to his word and to his spirit. We can say we're obedient, but yet we can take God out of the situation by doing our own thing based on our own voice. If I go to somebody else, "What do you think about this? What should I do?" And he says something to me, then I'm listening to the voice of man, thinking that he's all-knowing above God. And then we have the obedience part of where Satan will try to use the word of God, and he'll twist it ever so slightly to where we think his voice is supernatural when it's not. It actually takes away from the true voice of God. There is a voice that Satan has. We need to recognize and understand, out of obedience, it's going to be through the power of God. So listen to God's voice, not man's or Satan's. Number six, steadfastness. I think people give up too soon. When you look at steadfastness in faith, that doesn't mean we just give a prayer, and if it doesn't have immediately, that we give up. God didn't hear me. God doesn't love me. I don't feel worthy. No, there's a steadfastness in faith that God requires of us. Remember, it talks about faith and patience. In this day that we live in, we'll deal with the faith, but boy, patience, forget it. God wants us to live by faith and patience. It's amazing to think of how man is set up to think of automatically that we put four quarters in the vending machine, press the button, all of a sudden we get it. Why do we do that with God when we don't even give him the chance to be able, once we are steadfast in faith, to allow him to move through the situation? So then we get to the place, "I'll deal with this, God. I'll handle it my own way." And what happens is that we get out of the steadfastness of faith. And because of urgency or anxiety, we tend to take matters into our own hands. And then we wonder why prayer is not being answered. Number seven is trust. We need to believe that God watches over his word to perform it. Trust that God watches over his word to perform it. That comes back to that faith and patience again. The trust is very important. Trust is believing in the power of God when it doesn't appear that things are going our way. But we're standing firm that we are trusting, that we're trusting, that we're trusting, that we're trusting. Amen? Amen. And number eight, love never fails. Look at the ingredients here. This is the ingredients that we need for an effective prayer life to actually produce this cake that is right here, which is answered prayer. And so if we take the flour out, let's say we want our prayers answered, but if we take the flour out, why would we think that the prayers would be answered? The whole idea is we're not to manipulate God in our prayer life, of saying, okay, if I pull the milk out, God, you can do it with all this but the milk. No, God's saying, no, we need all these ingredients to get the answered prayer. Yeah. All right? Let's add a couple more things here. Let's say that I'm going to help God. I've got all these ingredients, but God, I really want to help you, and I bring out a mango. It's not going to come out the same. See, this is the ingredients for an effective answered prayer. But me, as a child of God, if I want to help God, and I'm saying, God, you know, I think this mango will work really well to make that. It says, I don't need that. I don't need your help. All I need is these ingredients. Okay? Oh, you're going to like this one. The onion. I want you to think about, here we are. Remember, the eighth thing that I shared was love. Prayers are not answered through bitterness. Prayers are not answered through bitterness. And if I said, Susie, I want you to eat this onion, and she ate it, and I said, you know what? Your breath stinks, right? Now let me bring things in perspective here. When we want answered prayer from God and we have bitterness in our life, it's like an onion that we eat, and he's saying, your breath stinks. Come on. You want me to answer your prayer, but because of your heart is not of love, you have bitterness, your breath stinks. So then he's saying, you need to get rid of that onion and bitterness and anger in your life, because if you want it and you're going to believe it based on my principles and my values, you're going to have to get rid of that bitterness. So then we wonder where God is. How come God isn't hearing our prayers? And yet it's because you're eating the onion that gives you bad breath. This does not line up with the Word of God. Bitterness does not line up with the Word of God. And usually what sabotages us the most is our mouth. The words of our mouth. We want God to agree with us in prayer, but we're not adding the ingredients, but we'll say things with our mouth out of bitterness, and then we wonder why God isn't answering prayer. So we have to ask, is the ingredients faith? Am I believing in faith, or am I in doubt and unbelief? Right? Am I just saying words from the intellect, or is it really from the heart? All right? Let's think about these things that's trying to trip us up in our walk with the Lord. Are we aligning our prayers up with the Word of God? Okay, I have faith in the name of Jesus. You know, I want you to smite that guy at work because I hate his guts. No, that doesn't line up with the Word. Right? Right? He's not going to fulfill your flesh nature. He's going to fulfill the spirit nature that's in you that lines up with his word. But we'll take authority. We'll take authority in the name of Jesus. You better watch out what authority you're under. Is it the authority in Christ, or is it in the authority of your flesh? And then we wonder why prayer isn't answered. So, I want us to understand this. We are in a spiritual battle. In order to be victorious, we have to pray. Amen. Amen? But I also want us to recognize some things today. Recall that God had rejected Satan from heaven when he attempted to usurp his throne and rule, casting the devil and a third of the angels who had followed him to earth. See, we talk about the kingdom of God, we talk about prayer, but I also want us to understand there is an enemy that is out there that doesn't want you praying. All right? Let's look at Isaiah 14, 12 through 15. Here's the prophet Isaiah. Listen to what it says. How you're fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground. You who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart. Say that with me. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars, which is the angel of the God. And I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the furthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Get that. I will be like the Most High. Now listen. Yet it says, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Nothing will rule over God. Amen. Ezekiel 28:16 says, by the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God. I destroy you, O covering cherub. From the midst of the fiery stones, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. Okay, there's two things right here that he was cast earth to the ground. Two times, to the ground. I cast you to the ground. I lay you before the kings that they might gaze at you. Okay? All right, now let's go to the end of the Bible, Revelation 12:4. It says, his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven, meaning the angels, and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman. Listen to this. The dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child, Jesus, to devour a child as soon as it was born. Isn't that amazing? So Satan didn't want Jesus here. He doesn't want you and I to be followers of Christ. All right, let's look at 1 Peter 5:6. So the power of prayer. Why is it so important that we understand prayer for what? Because there's an adversary that doesn't like you. He wants to mess you up, not to serve the kingdom. All right, 1 Peter 5:6-9. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now listen, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I want you to catch this. All of us need to catch this. Resist him. How do we resist him? Through prayer and authority. We resist the devil through prayer and authority. Then it goes on to say, be steadfast in faith. Verse 9 says, resist him steadfast in faith, meaning that we need to know who we are in Christ, that we pray and understand our authority, and that we're steadfast in faith because there's one roaming about to devour us. All right? Now listen, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. There are people that are being martyred every day because of their belief in Christ. That isn't love, that's murder. That's part of the devil's plan. We're part of the kingdom of God, right? Amen. So, as we understand that we have an adversary, we have an adversary that wants to destroy the very creation God loves. That's you. God loves you. Amen. And you and I, as God's creation, as a believer, as a Christian, we have a duty to rule in the sphere of influence that we live in. Okay, let me share a little bit more. That sphere is, which means our family, our community, our church, our workplace, whatever place you are, that's your sphere of influence. So you might be at work and you're the only light there and you say, you know what, I hate my job. All those people hate me because I love the Lord. That is your sphere of influence to share the light. So even like with Susie and I in our home, the sphere of influence is that as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord, right? Okay, but with Bill and Mino, their sphere of influence is that the message is the same, but we're not coming over here, you know, if you would just get it right, you would. No, that's not my responsibility. That's not our responsibility, or vice versa. We're to encourage each other in the Lord. But when you live day in and day out with each other, when you're at the workplace, when you're in your community, your sphere is wherever you go, you're to be an influence for the kingdom of God. That's your sphere of influence. So the power of prayer is this. You know those guys at work? I'm the only one there. Okay, the power of prayer is that something by the supernatural is changing that sphere by the power of God, because God is in you and living in you, that you're a light unto the world, then your sphere of influence is impacting the lost. Your sphere of influence is by your words that you speak is not that of an onion. It's not of an onion. It's the words of God that he's planted in your heart to minister to the lost so that they don't go to hell. Amen. Amen. So just remember this. Satan doesn't want you and I knowing our spiritual authority and how to access that authority through prayer. Now listen, because if we knew it, we might just use it to defeat his schemes. I'm going to say that one more time. Satan doesn't want you and I to know our spiritual authority and how to access that authority through prayer, because if we knew it, we might just use it to defeat his schemes. Amen. That is powerful. So think about it. Adam and Eve ceased communicating with God and started communicating with the devil, which caused them to lose access to heavenly authority and wisdom. Because you didn't communicate with me, you decided to communicate with the serpent, with the devil himself, and because of that, you gave him access. And I didn't want him to have access. He wanted Adam and Eve to maintain that authority through their access with God, not Satan. And we know what happened there. So when we think of Adam and Eve losing access to heaven's authority, wisdom, I want us to think about this. God doesn't want that to happen to us. See, Jesus paid the price on the cross. He's seated in heavenly places, right? But we're also seated in heavenly places with him. That's what the Word of God says. And so we need to understand that God doesn't want that to happen to us. He wants us always communing with him. Prayer is listening to the voice of God, then being obedient to that voice. All right, let's look at John 10. Prayer is listening to the voice of God, then being obedient to that voice. Okay, so John 10 talks about the good shepherd. Who's the good shepherd? Jesus is the good shepherd. So John 10, 4 through 5, it says, "And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. See, the good shepherd is sheep. We need to know his voice so that we're obedient to that voice. Because the enemy wants us to recognize his voice above God's. Right? But when Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd, my sheep hear my voice. Well, what are we saying? Are we really his sheep? Are we really following him like the Word of God says? The devil doesn't care much about people going to church, reading their Bible, or saying a cute Christian prayer, as long as he and his demons are not exposed to the authoritative nature of your relationship with God. I've read the Bible 3 times, so I want to see fruit. I had somebody say, I've read the Bible 3 times. Okay, I want to see fruit. I go to church every Sunday. Okay, is that an event for you to do out of duty, or is it really that you're wanting to receive from God that he's nurturing you to be the man or woman of God that he's called you to be a vessel of honor, rather than out of duty to appear good? Because I've literally had people use the church as a social club. The church is not a social club. This is about believers being equipped to do the work of the ministry, to share the gospel, the good news. Amen. As a child of God, a vessel of honor. It's authority that produces power. It's authority that produces. So when you look at prayer, don't think of prayer not being powerful. Oh, I said it with my head, but where's the heart? Where's the spirit? Very important. We should want to see the power of prayer and God's word active in our life. If you don't want to pray and you don't want to see the power of God active in your life, I have to ask, where are you really at in your relationship with him? Where are you really located? There's a part in the Bible where Paul's talking about, you've been on the milk way too long. You should be teaching. You should be teaching. You shouldn't be on the milk anymore. You should be teaching. All of us have to ask ourselves, where are we at? Where are we at with the Lord? Let's look at Luke 4. And this is about the authority. So Luke 4, 31. This is about Jesus in Capernaum. All right. Then he went down to Capernaum, a city in Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. Okay? Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know you are the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him in the midst, it says it came out of him and did not hurt him. This is the man that had the demon. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, what a word this is. For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they came out. And the report about him went out into every place in the surrounding area. What I want us to understand is because of Jesus Christ, we have authority because of who he is in us. Amen. Let's look at Romans 8:16. Your prayers have power. Romans 8:16. It says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, joint heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Today, people are, I'm not a joint heir. Yes, you are. You're a joint heir. You're a joint heir in Christ. The reason why I'm saying this is because we need to recognize the authority that we have in Christ Jesus. And that God's plan for you and I is that we function in as a joint heir. All right. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs in Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Okay? What I'm trying to say with this is that let's make the connection that God is speaking to your heart that you are a joint heir in Christ and that you have authority. Okay? Last scripture, 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them." Well, there's false teachers, different things, but I want us to understand this, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. Can we grasp that thought? We're a child of God. We're joint heirs in Christ Jesus. We have authority. We have power when we pray. It's not in just our head. It's from our heart with our spirit. Amen. So if we could only truly grasp all that is happening in the invisible realm in response to our prayer, prayer would be a priority in all our lives. Amen. If we truly grasp how powerful prayer was. Amen. So I'll close with this. Prayers bring results. Understand the importance of prayer. Exercise your authority today. Amen? Amen? Amen. Now this is the final part. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. This isn't about you. It's about him. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.